Hound Dogs. I'm David Hankins.
And I'm Paul Hankins.
And welcome to On the Air with Power Squared, a weekly look behind what we hope will be everyone's favorite comic book, Power Squared. But this week, we're also going to be taking a look behind Dirk Brody, freelance adventurer. And we have the creator of that, Sean Hall, here. Say hi.
Hey. Thanks for having me. That's me.
Yeah, we appreciate you taking the time. It's So we just a little background. We actually kind of met in a Zoom call months ago through Artith Merrick. They had some of their creatives. Only a handful of us actually showed up for it, but got to at least see who you were back then. So you know, we're like brothers. Anyway, so so tell us a little bit about Sean Hall. Tell us, you know, what is your background, your education? I mean, you.
Long ago started out, well, I've always been an artist as far as drawing and stuff like that as a kid, but I went to Loyola Marymount for film for a couple years, and they actually had an animation program that was just starting the year that I started there, and I'd always kind of been interested in animation, so after a couple years, and I realized I was kind of like, I like the idea of filmmaking, but the amount of people it takes to do something, any kind of film, was just like, it was just too much, and I was just not cut out to be a director as far as like telling real people what to do. So so I was like, well, I still like making films. So I was like, well, I always had interest in animation, so I switched over to animation. I always like doing art. And was there for a couple more years, but since it was like a totally different program, it was like I was going to go for another 4 years there, and it was really expensive, and I was like, well, I just decided, and this was actually right at the time that they were switching over from doing stuff on film to digital.
Right.
And I was kind of like, we're spending a lot of time on film, and I'm like, it's going to be digital pretty soon, and I'm like, this is a lot of money I'm spending on this, and it should, I'm not really getting the education I wanted. So anyway, I ended up going back to school here at and finishing up. I'm from Minnesota. That's where here is, Minneapolis. It was a lot cheaper because I could live at home. And then ended up doing advertising and stuff like that for a while. But, you know, again, going way, way back, I was a big comic book collector as a kid, and still am to a degree, but to what I can afford now.
Right, yeah.
But
besides your own, yeah.
Yeah. But I always drew in high school and stuff like that, and was really liked to make my own comics and stuff like that. And I never thought that I would, that made a lot of sense as a career in my mind. I never could imagine myself making money doing that.
I still can't, but I
understand. Yeah, that's what I'm saying to myself. I still can't, but at least I, you know, so it was always kind of something that I enjoyed. And so now several years ago, I kind of was saying to myself, you know, am I really enjoying what I'm doing? Am I really, you know, like, am I able to tell the stories I have in my head and want to be able to tell? And even animation is like, that's such a huge thing. And I'm like, I should be, you know, I did a lot of storyboard work for what I was doing. And I'm like, I should go back to thinking about doing comic books again. Cause that was sort of one of those things I really enjoyed, but sort of never gave my fullest to, you know.
So were there certain comic books that inspired you?
Well, I mean, I was a big DC guy as far as a kid. So, I really got into comics probably when like the Ninja Turtles were starting. That was sort of like the weird bridge that kind of got me into it. I think I started getting some of the Archie stuff that they were doing at the time. And then like Batman 89 came out, and that sort of got me into Batman, and then I started dipping into that. And so, you know, I was big into, in, you know, early 90s, late 90s DC stuff. But as far as, and then, so I was, you know, I didn't really get a lot of, as far as independent stuff at that time. And it just wasn't, you know, I was a kid. I didn't know any, what was going on as far as that. And, but, yeah, I mean, that was sort of my biggest inspiration, even though I don't really feel like I'm doing that kind of right, work now, no. at least visually, but at least, and you know, so I just, I don't know. I feel like I draw from a lot of things. I always say like, Dirk Brody is kind of like Indiana Jones meets sort of DuckTales, kind of that kind of thing, you know. The,
yeah.
As far as just like the sort of cartoony end of it, I always like, you know, big sort of cartoony action and that kind of thing. Not taking it too seriously, you know. I remember now that I'm thinking about it, getting really into like The Tick when that came out. That was a big. inspiration as far as this humor, even though like, you know, I'm not doing that quite style of humor, but that was a huge thing for me. I remember getting super into that, trying to collect all those when the first run when it came out, but I don't think I never quite got all of them. It was hard to hard to find in those days, just going to little comic shows.
So tell us about Dirk Brody then.
So I just sort of, yeah, I had this kind of thing in my head for a long time of a way to, basically I just like, these are the kind of stories I want to tell. What do I make to allow myself to make, tell those stories, you know? And I liked, like I said, I like Indiana Jones in the sense that it takes place in the past. It's not, you're not dealing with a lot of technology. You're not dealing with a lot of, you know, those sort of things that I find kind of limit some storytelling things. You know, I like sort of timeless, I guess.
Yeah.
Stories, yeah. That kind of thing. Yeah. So I was like, how can I make that? What can I do? And so I just had this idea of, Dirk Brody is basically like, he dresses like a cowboy. He's not necessarily a cowboy in the sense of that he's out in the West, but it take place on an Earth that's not really like our Earth at all, I guess. I didn't want to do something that really shared the same history as Earth, you know, dealing with like, it has to do a lot of research.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I guess it should go easier.
Yeah. Well, you can get bogged down in that kind of stuff. There's an appeal to it, but it's like, I'm just like, I don't really want to have to deal with that. So I'm like, I just do something totally divorced from reality. It's got monsters, it's got magic, it's got all these things that, you know, whatever I want to do with it, it's there. So he's basically, we got Dirk Brody. He's kind of this, like you said, freelance adventurer. He's got this ship that's basically way far advanced technologically compared to the rest of the sort of the universe. And it lets him kind of do things that other people can't, as far as like fast travel. So people hire him to do sort of different things. So like finding magical items or whatnot. And he's got his assistant Tad, who's I'd say he's probably about 10 year old kid. So it's kind of that Indiana Jones Temple of Doom kind of scenario with and I'm forgetting his name, the kid in that, but you know, it's short sort of round. Again, they have kind of a brother. Yes, short round. Yes. And they have a, you know, kind of a big brother, little brother relationship, and so they kind of play off each other, and they basically just go on adventures. And so it's whatever I kind of feel like having them do. I have there's a 7-part storyline that was kind of the first thing I did. It got way bigger than I intended it to be, which basically, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, you keep talking. I'm sorry.
Oh. No, I was just, so, which is basically there's, you find out that the basically there's a big fire on the moon, and the moon is sort of slowly losing orbit, and he's trying to sort of, he gets hired to find this, it's called a moon pearl, which is supposed to somehow help them solve this mystery of why this is happening. And that's kind of how he gets wrapped up in this big adventure in the initial series. And yeah, so that's kind of like, and I'm kind of like I write sort of strangely, I think, as far as I have an idea of where stories are going when I start it, but I'm kind of like, I like the sort of challenge of sort of figuring out a bit as I go. I'm not a guy who sits down and writes the entire outline and plots it down to every
you're a pantser, last page is what they call
and stuff
it,
like that.
You just sit right by the seat of your pants. So
yeah, exactly. Which is more fun for me. I mean, if I was a full-time comic book guy, maybe I'd have the luxury of thinking like that. But I sort of
So that brought up the question of what is your process? Do you write first, or you draw and then make it in, or do you just have an idea and you just draw and then add dialogue later, or how does it work?
It's a little bit of all of that, but I think I usually have, I'll think of, you know, like the overarching plot of a particular issue or a run or whatever I'm doing, and then sort of break it down mostly in my head about what I want to do, and then sort of the plot points I want to hit. And then for dialogue, I admit that that's sort of, I find the most difficult as far as like getting from what's in my head onto the actual page, and never sort of seems like quite what I had in mind. So that's always kind of like the last bit. I know the gist of what they're going to be saying in any particular panel and whatever else, but I really have to like painstakingly
that's the fun thing about writing anyway, it's not as good at when you get it down on paper as it was in your head. And this was great up here, now it sucks. I understand that totally. So how long have you been doing?
It's now about 7 years now, so, which is crazy, but been a lot of fun. I mean, it's, how many
issues do you have?
Issues I've done. So the first one was 7. I did this, and then 8, 9, 10. I guess I'm on the 11th one right now. I'm currently working on. Wow. I mean, I don't. You know, again, they sort of are collected by series. I don't have it like an ongoing where each thing is numbered by. You know, it's not like 1 to 10. It's
right.
But just as an attempt to get people to not care about that too much when they're getting into it, you know, I always get that's why I know I started out with the first thing was 7 issues. It was probably supposed to be 5 in my mind when I first started it. And then, so after that one was done, that's the Kurt or the Lost Empire of the Moon. I'm getting my names mixed up. So that was the first series of them.
I do that all the time.
And then I'm jumbling the names together. Then the second thing I made myself do like a small self-contained thing for the next one, which has turned out to be basically a double-sized issue as far as page count. I still tried to keep it as one, but just so it gave somebody, you know, to give somebody who wanted to read it, not to scare them away by having to get a 7-issue storyline right off the bat. So that was sort of my idea with the second thing. And then now I'm kind of going back into a longer story again. Again, one that was supposed to maybe be 2 issues. I'm hoping it will be, no, it's going to be 4. I don't know what I'm saying. There's no way it's wrapping up in this issue.
But, so how many pages do you have in an issue, or does that really matter to you?
For the first one, it didn't at all, because I wasn't thinking ever about doing any kind of printing of it. So I was just whatever, you know, 20 to 30 pages or whatever. I had that as a ballpark, and then, you know, so it ended on a nice note in each issue. But like, now I'm trying to keep it to 24 just because I am thinking about print. Because I ran into that when I was trying to do, actually get the Dirk Brody series printed. I had, you know, all these things that didn't fit, you know, they needed to be in the right page count. So I ended up having to do a backup story for those just to get them printed. And that was a 12 page thing. And I'm trying to not make as much work for myself.
Oh, no. Yeah. Totally understand.
Yeah.
You also have another character, Sally Scarlet. You had at least one issue with her.
Yeah, so that was what was the backup.
Okay.
It ended up being the backup story. That was a 12-pager. So it's in the print, it's included in the print, and on the digital, it's separate. But yeah, she's a collector of sort of magical items that she knows. She had worked with Dirk before on some unseen mission, but they didn't get along very well in. But he asked for her help in the first series to, because they were dealing with a bunch of magic and it's not his area. And so she basically collects magic items with the idea of keeping them from other people. Basically, she doesn't want to necessarily use them. She thinks they're dangerous, and so that's kind of like what her deal is. And so in the backup story was kind of a little mini, not really origin, but at least explained her, filled out her character a little bit more. But yeah, and I'd like to do more with her at some point, but again, only so much time. You have this vision of, you know, a grand shared universe and, but you know, oh, I mean, you know, I mean, that's kind of the fun of it for me, is like, you know, putting down little story threads that you hope to get to again someday. And maybe you will, maybe you won't. But
yeah, we dropped
if all goes to plan, and I someday.
Go ahead. We dropped a lot in our first issue.
If all goes to plan.
Go ahead. You talk.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no. Okay. No, it's fine. Yeah, just that. I don't even know what I was saying anymore. Just that I had a lot of planned stuff, you know, that I hope to get to. But if I get to do it full time someday, then hopefully I will. And if people show enough interest that they care about like a bunch of weird continuity stuff, then.
What I was going to say is we planted a bunch of stuff in our first issue that we're still pulling from on issue 17.
Yeah.
So we're. You know, we're trying to, you know, if you read the first issue, you'll see all of this stuff come up later. So understand that idea.
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, that's a lot of fun. I mean, that's, I guess, what sort of drew me in when I was doing in comic books to begin with was like, you know, back when they used to do the footnotes and you'd see like, oh, this took place, you know, they're referring to some issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, 20 issues ago. And that was, you know, exciting. It was sort of mysterious. You like it gave a bigger sense of the world, you know, and so that's sort of I love that stuff. And so, you know, the more I can put that in there, I, you know, you always kind of imagine that someday you're gonna have a bunch of fans asking questions about all these little things that you put in there. And
yeah, we can always hope. Yes,
whether that'll happen, I don't know.
So how long does it take you to do an issue, roughly? I mean, I would imagine different page counts would take different amounts of time, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard. I mean, I've like last year, I did 2 issues, but I had other things happening and other little side projects. So it just depends. I do it in bursts, depending on what my work schedule allows. I mean, I think last issue, I mean, I think I did all the ink in like, you know, a few weeks, but then everything else took doing color and all those other things, which I don't enjoy as much, took a lot longer. So, but yeah, I mean, if I can do a couple issues a year, I'm happy, but I'd love to do more.
Have you ever done any conventions or signings or anything?
You know, I did one a couple, maybe 3 years ago in Minneapolis. And it was when I just had like the first issue, and you know, it was fun. I knew a couple people who were in it, and I met a couple people, but for some reason they didn't, I was not accepted to any of the last couple. So I didn't get to do them, which made me bummed out, but you know, I figure someday.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's a, especially, you know, when you're not, you know, don't have a rabid fandom or something like that, it's a little bit of a interesting experience, you know.
Yeah. No, we've
but done, I definitely liked yeah. the camaraderie.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did a small convention locally, and it was really like the only ones trying to sell a comic book. It's kind of. We did meet, you know, some people there, so it did kind of work out, but it was not a huge, yeah. There was mostly a collectors of older comics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, I would like to do more, but yeah, it's especially obviously now it's yeah. off the table for a while, for who knows, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely fun. It's nice to be able to meet other people in the area, if nothing else, because I mean, there is in Minneapolis, there's a decent community. It's not huge, but it's decent, and so
it seems to be. I mean, kind of. I mean, you know, Prince was from there, and I you know, Mystery Science Theater 3000 came out of there. So there's a lot of mm-hmm. kind of creativity going on in Minneapolis.
Oh yeah, no, it's a nice. I mean, it's a big art scene in general.
Right. Yeah. yeah. Okay. I wouldn't know. I've never actually been there, but I just kind of there's a lot of stuff does come out of there, so it's
cold, and so you have many months where you don't go out, so you have to fill your time with stuff. That's I think the genesis of it.
So you're already self sheltering, whatever. So I'll ask the question.
Oh yeah, I'm used to it already.
Yeah. So has COVID had any sort of real effect on you?
Not hugely. I mean, other than the sort of being able to work at home, which is actually I enjoy quite a bit. So I'm not going to complain, especially with little kids. It's nice to be able to actually be around them during the day and see them grow up. So I'm happy with it. I mean, it's definitely, I mean, an adjustment from, you know, going out and doing things. Not that I was a huge like person to go out all the time or anything. I was pretty much a homebody anyway, so but you know, it's nice. Been an adjustment, and obviously like I said, conventions, I was thinking about doing some this year, it didn't, or last year,
yeah.
And this year
I always like to tell the story that we were like a day away from doing a signing at a major comic book store here, and everything shut down. So it's kind of like, and so we, you know, that was our hope, was to do a whole bunch, you know, get really involved last year, and I don't even know if we'll be how involved we can get this year. But
yeah.
So who is the ideal reader for Dirk Brody?
Well, I, you know, I always had it in mind that I liked the idea of it being something that kids can get into and read and be an all ages book, because you know, again, that's sort of, I loved it, those as a kid, and it really got into it. And I like the idea of getting more kids into reading comics. Obviously, there actually are a lot of comics aimed at kids as far as, you know, the sort of graphic novel stuff that they've got a lot of now for young readers. But I, you know, I hope that it's something that every age can read. I mean, it's not meant to just be for little kids. It's meant to be for literally all ages. And, you know, if you like adventures, stories, you like stuff that's, it's just fun. You know, it's not heavy. It's not overly dramatic and melodramatic. And, you know, so it's just a fun adventure story. I mean, it's the kind of story that I always enjoyed. And that's sort of what I try to do and bring to it.
Yeah, Glenn. We read the issue Artif Marek sent us, and we had fun reading it.
Yeah, it was a good read.
Oh, I'm glad. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Thank you. And we'd recommend it to other people. Obviously, we wouldn't have you on the show if we didn't.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I do.
So how do you, I mean, do you make an effort to try to connect with fans? I know you have a website and you've got a Twitter and Instagram account, but I mean, do you have any sort of interaction that you try to keep up, or you just...
I mean, I try. I am certainly receptive if people, you know, I try to, you know, maintain a presence on Twitter as much as possible. I do. I post a lot of artwork. I post, you know, work in progress all the time. So hopefully that's fun for people to see. And I try to interact as much. If people reach out to me, I definitely talk back to them. And I try to make myself accessible. So, yeah, and you know, I got the website. Don't get a lot of, it's not a huge draw at the moment, but you know, trying to promote it as much as possible, jerkbrody.com.
You can pretty much read, am I right? You can pretty much read every issue on there?
Yep. You can read every issue on there. I got a thing so that you can, it's, you know, it's mobile friendly. It's like, it's all like you can kind of almost like flip through it like a book and read it on there. And so I'm trying to make it as nice an experience for people as possible. So
are you worried if you're giving it away that people won't buy it? Or are you hoping that there's this craving to have a print copy?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think when I first started, I thought maybe I'd be a little more, I don't know. I sort of feel like it'll people need to be able to read it. You know, you can't have a fandom if nobody's reading it, you know what I mean? Well, and so if you don't make yourself available to be read in some way, and if I was selling digital for quite a while, and so I tried to kind of push that, but you know, at a certain point I was just like, let them make it as easy to read, and hopefully, you know, the people who really enjoy it will support me, you know, right, by buying the books. And you know, and I think that works, it does work for people. I've seen it happen. So
4 out of 5 dentists who chew gum. Yes. So you have a Patreon account?
I do, but I'll be honest, I it's not something I've been pushing because I don't really have the time. But if your listeners and viewers want to seek it out, it is available. You know, no, I mean, if I'll be honest, there is no supporters, so I don't do anything. If there were, I would.
Well, hopefully you'll get somebody out of this, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So would your goal be that you could just live off of that? I mean, what is your goal with it?
My goal is eventually to, yeah, if I could, to make a living off it, however I can make a living off of it, whether it's Patreon or sales of books or whatever. I try not, you know, I do worry about things like Patreon because you just, as far as putting all your eggs in one basket, as far as like, that's how I'm going to make all my money is on Patreon or whatever. Yeah. Not that I have to worry about it at the moment, but you know,
no,
try to diversify, as much as possible.
And you have, again, yeah, you have sort of a leg up that you're doing it all the work yourself. You know, your expenses are, I guess, your supplies, or which I assume is all digital. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can, turn a profit pretty quickly, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, so
for website the time, is expensive.
That's not that bad.
No, it's not. Actually, yeah, I need to find a new host, I think, because I keep jacking up the price. But
wow.
Yeah, it's, but it's good. Obviously, if I could be doing this for a living full time, that would be the ideal. However that happens, I'll take it.
Do you see Dirk becoming an animated series or a movie or something someday?
Oh, I try not to build myself up too much, but yeah, it's deep down somewhere in the back of my brain, I fantasize about those things. But I've got that animation background, so that's always kind of in my mind somewhere, that's sort of how I picture things as far as when I'm doing the book, so I can always sort of imagine it being that at some point. And yeah, it would be awesome. But
so let's talk about our common thread, which is Artith Merrick. How did you hook up with them?
I'm trying to remember. I'm assuming it was that. It was through Twitter. Whether Steve or somebody there actually reached out to me, I can't quite remember how. But it was sort of one of those things that I was super excited to see something like that as far as a print on demand, because that was kind of, I did do a very small run of my first issue, like, because I was doing a convention at the time. But other than that, I haven't done print, because I keep thinking I'm going to do a convention and I'm preparing to do a print, but it hasn't happened. So, it just made a lot of sense. And then we just sort of ended up going back and forth, and they were very kind as far as praise of my work and everything, and I'm super grateful for that. I think it's a great concept, and they're very supportive of everybody, and it's I think it's definitely a great deal, and if people, I would hope people would support them and buy books from them, and
if they buy our books from them, that'd be great.
buy any books.
Honestly, I want my books to sell, but I'm kind of piggish that way. But
well, yes, I want them to buy my books. I just think that it's a great thing, and I want everyone to be buying comic books. And I think it's a great art form, and I think it's not enough people take it seriously, but there's obviously a stigma with as far as like what's for kids and things like that in comics. Yeah. But it's just superheroes and it's just this or that, and it's a legitimate art form to tell any kind of story, and there's amazing stuff out there. I mean, I'm constantly amazed at what I'm seeing as far as artwork or storytelling. There's so much great stuff out there that people should be supporting, and
I noticed when I was looking at your store on Artith Merrick, you don't have like t-shirts or anything like that. Is that something you want to get into, or
They've definitely asked me about that. I don't know. I'm just.
I'm not here working for them. I'm just curious.
No, I don't know. It's one of those things that, like, it's not in my brain to, you know what I mean? Like, I never think about it. I guess it's probably the sort of the pessimistic part of myself that's like, well, why would I, who wants that?
Yeah. We're hoping, as you can see, we've had t-shirts made there, hopefully, though. We were on the show, hopefully, yes. But yeah, so I was just curious, because that's, we think if people are buying your comic, your hope is they want to have a t-shirt and talk about it. But
it's on the list somewhere, actually. But
you can almost take your logo and just stick it on a shirt, frankly. But that's
just true.
Yeah. Which I guess we've done, but I mean yours is really colorful and all that, So I want a percent if you do it. So I'm
sorry. All right, I'll make a note.
Okay, so do you have any questions you want to ask him? I've sort of gone through most of them.
I
put him on the spot.
Yeah, I don't really know.
Okay. So this is where that's you get to fine. Tell people, how would they find out more about Dirk Brody?
Well, as you mentioned, at the website, it's dirkbrody.com, DirkBrody. That's right.
Yeah. I think. Yeah, it is. we're not spell checking you.
I've never been good at spelling bees and things like that. So, dirk.com, and that's where you'll find most everything. I'm on Twitter. Sean F. Hall, I believe. I'm terrible. I'm sorry. I totally never.
That's okay. We'll put links in the podcast about where they can find you. So I just want to hold up one of your issues. I'm sure it's not Clary, but yes. You can buy them, and they are nicely done.
Yes.
And we'd recommend after you've bought all the Power Squared, then you start buying the Dark Road.
Exactly. Whatever you have left, I'll take it.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show.
Oh, thank you, guys. This was really a lot of fun. Good. Thank you so much.
And then there's our outro. If you're watching this on YouTube, leave a like if you liked it. Subscribe if you want to see more. And ring the notification bell if you want to see exactly when these videos go up.
So we may have you back on a future show, and you got another issue coming out. But in the meantime, thank you very much for being on. All right. Well, have a good weekend and the rest of the rest of your Friday.
All right. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
All right. So until next week, I'm David Hankins.
I'm Paul Hankins.
And this has been On the Air with Power Squared.